Thanks, Sam.
Let's go.
I'm an addict. My name's Mike.
Mike.
You look good.
Thank you. My clean date's 5/17/13. I'm real grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. If anyone's new to NA, I want to say welcome, and this program works. And thanks to the committee for asking me to speak tonight, this morning, right now. I've been excited to talk about this topic, man. I think somebody on the committee handpicked me because they know I've been through some of this stuff right here. I'm going to read it again. It's out of Living Clean, page 15. It says, "It's not recovery that is painful. Our resistance to it is what hurts." And I'm going to read that next sentence because it ties it in. It says, "When we step away from our recovery and act against our beliefs, that hurts." I got clean and found out I had this thing called a conscience. And I didn't know it was there for a long time when I was using. This thing, this word that we talk about, this thing we're chasing in here, this thing we call recovery. I'm real grateful to the people that put in all the work to write our literature, our predecessors and everything. They actually defined recovery in the basic text in chapter 5 is active change in our ideas and our attitudes. When I got clean, I had some pretty messed up ideas and some wacky attitudes, man. And check it out. With 9 years clean, I can still come up with some bright ideas and some fucked up attitudes. And the whole point is to be trying to achieve active change in those things. One of my other favorite lines about recovery, it's the last thing I'm going to read. It talks about our goal here in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Our goal. In chapter 7, Recovery and Relapse, page 78 says, "Recovery as experienced through our 12 steps is our goal, not mere physical abstinence." You know, staying clean at some point is not enough for me. You know what I'm saying? I think we all know that we don't need dope to do some dope fiend shit. I don't need drugs to step away from my recovery and act against my beliefs and cause that pain. Ever since I got clean, there was a little saying that would pass around. Something along the lines, if you ain't working on something, something's working on you. And just having that something is uncomfortable, man. It's painful, right? I've always thought of recovery as like an escalator, man. A downward escalator. And we're walking up that thing, right? Because, throughout our literature, it talks about when we become complacent and we stop doing the work, the recovery process ceases, man. It stops. And I notice if I stand still for too long, I'm not stuck in the same place. I'm getting worse if I'm not working on something. Some of the most painful times in my life have been in recovery. Yeah, there was a lot of painful shit when I was getting high. But, I kind of numb to all that, right? When we're using this, we don't experience feelings and emotions the way they're supposed to be felt, right? And obviously, through my inability to accept personal responsibilities, I was creating my own problems. You know, it says that Narcotics Anonymous gives us the opportunity to ease the pain of living through spiritual principles. But if I'm not practicing principles, I'm not participating in what I believe is right. Like I said, that's what hurts, man. This is my first HACNA without my sponsor, man. My sponsor died earlier this year with over 30 years clean, man. And his girlfriend was going through his literature, man, and he had this page in his basic text with my name on it, on both sides, out of chapter 7, Recovery and Relapse. And he used to say, the backside of that, page 85 and 86, that was his favorite piece of the literature, because it said the word ass, and it caught his attention. But also on that page, it says the word must 4 times. It also talks about types of relapse. I heard somebody one time say at a convention in San Antonio that relapse starts when you throw that candy wrapper out the window of your car when you're driving. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's the dumbest crap I ever heard of. But then I got to thinking, like, what's the attitude of fuck it, right? The attitude of, you know, I don't give a damn. The attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. The way I see it, that getting clean was a process, man. First, I had to physically stop doing the drugs. And it took some time for my body to get clean, right? I had to go through withdrawals, detox, shit like that. And we know an addict with a couple weeks, even a couple months clean, isn't all there upstairs, right? Getting clean mentally was a process as well. You know, that took some time, man. Time takes time. It took some practice, learning how to get to meetings, learning how to share, learning how to shut up and listen. It's tough, man. One day I wasn't just thinking about dope all the time. And then eventually, for me, my spirit cleaned up a little bit. And spirituality's always been the toughest part of my recovery for me, man. But the way it was described to me was that spirituality is the relationship that I have with the thing that is most important in my life. When I'm getting high, it's drugs. If it's not drugs, it's me. You know, for some people, it's God, it's family, it's stuff like that. You know, recovery. Right? With some clean time and some work and some participation. Spiritually, we get clean, right? And what that speaker was talking about is the process of relapse is that same process in reverse. when all of a sudden God or recovery is not the most important thing in my life. Spiritual principles, fuck it, you know. Until eventually, mental relapse, right? I'm thinking like a dope fiend. I'm thinking about getting high. I'm thinking I don't need to be here. I have the attitude and the thoughts about stepping away from my principles, right? My recovery. Until eventually, you know, I pick up the drugs and I get high. I said that was the last thing I was going to read, but I lied. On that page I was telling you about, that he wrote my name on there. Another type of relapse happens when being clean is not the top priority. Staying clean must always come first. At times we all experience difficulty in our recovery. Emotional lapses result when we don't practice what we have learned. Those who have made it through these times show a courage not their own. After coming through one of these periods, we can readily agree that it is always darkest before the dawn. Once we get through a difficult time clean, we are given a tool of recovery that we can use again and again. Over and over again, it talks about if we don't use what we have, we lose what we have. And that used to trip me out, man. Like, what do I have? You know, we can theorize about it and all that, but what do I have, man? I got clean time. I know that. I got a home group. I got that. I got some people on my side in the fellowship. I got my circle. I got my sponsor. And I've got experience. If I don't use those things that I have, if I don't use my sponsor, and I start sponsoring myself, that's dangerous, right? I'm going to lose what I have. If I don't use my home group and show up, my house is my home group, right? That's messed up, man. I've always believed that recovery is a lot of balance, man. We talk about the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and the program Narcotics Anonymous. We are the fellowship, right? These meetings, these events. And the program, you know, this self-titled book right here, they call this Narcotics Anonymous. You go to the introduction, it says our program. I've tried it both ways. The first year, I didn't work no steps, man, but I went to every convention. I went to every beach party, every dance. Went to sometimes three meetings a day. But I didn't work no steps, man. I wasn't working on something. I was working on fun. And I tried it the other way, right? I get my feelings hurt and I say, fuck y'all, man. I work my steps. I'm going to read this literature. I'm going to study it. I'm going to fucking memorize it, right? I can quote the literature and shit. But I don't pick up the phone, man. I don't use that ultimate weapon. The recovering addict. And I started losing friends, right? Started losing touch. It's not recovery that is painful. Our resistance to it is what hurts. In the first step, I was taught that we have to get honest about the problem if there's going to be hope for a solution. I was told that's problem solving 101. In the first step, I get honest about the extent of my drug use and the effect it had on my life. And when I got here, that's so painfully obvious, right? But when I got some years clean or whatever, I got clean time, I've got experience, and I'm unable or unwilling to get honest about the problem or problems that I have going on in my life dealing with addiction, that's painful, man. It's like that check engine light comes on. You put that piece of duct tape over that thing, man. Just, oh, it ain't there. And then I need a new engine. Stuff like that, man. Sweeping problems under the rug. I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. I was told that is a state-of-the-art first step that we have. We're powerless over our addiction. If the drugs were kicking my ass, what was taking me to the ass whooping? And if I can't get honest about the effect that addiction has in my life, the manifestations that come about in my life, there is no hope for a solution. And the second step honesty bridges over to that hope, man. Hope that this shit might work for me, man. Maybe. In other words, I might be okay. If I do this solution, I might be okay. When I stray away from recovery and resist recovery, I resist participating in an active change in my ideas and my attitudes. It's like driving the wrong way down a one-way street, man. Going against the flow. Going away from where I'm supposed to be going. Dodging oncoming traffic. Like in the sixth step, man. When the pain of remaining the same outgrows the fear of change, I will surely let go. Those claw marks and character defects, man. Practicing some constructive behaviors and being willing to change, that's not pain, man. That's growth. It's uncomfortable. There's some things that I've done my whole life that have been built into me like survival mechanisms. But when I practice spiritual principles and I do something positive, that doesn't hurt. When we do good, we usually feel good eventually. So it's easy for me, man, when shit hits the fan and I'm going through pain and I'm struggling. It's easy to just dive back into the familiar. It's easier to sit in pain and struggle and change my perception of reality than it is to just get up and do something about it. I remember sitting in the dope house, man, just thinking, like, wondering what my life would be like if I didn't have to use dope. Or sitting in the dope house just thinking, well, this ain't that bad. At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And I remember sitting in jail, clean. 6 months clean. Going back at 1 year clean. Going back to jail at 18 months clean. Sitting in the jail, nothing to do with dope. Thinking, well, at least I'm clean. Or sitting in there like wondering to myself, what would life be like if I didn't have to go to jail every 6 months? So just for today, I try to remember the goal, man. Recovery as experienced through the 12 steps. An active change in our ideas and our attitudes as experienced through the 12 steps is our goal. And if I can participate in that, and if I can practice that, it doesn't have to be painful, man. Like I said, Narcotics Anonymous gives us the opportunity to ease the pain of living through practicing spiritual principles. I used to say all the time, you know, life sucks, right? Life, I define as what happens. It kind of sucks, man. But recovery's badass, man. Recovery gives me opportunity to make life just a little bit easier. If I do the right thing, man. Do the right thing for the right reason. So with that, I just want to say thank y'all for showing up, man. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for asking me to do this. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Hey. Go! Okay, wake the fuck up, because here we go, okay? It's midnight. I'm trying to, like, I can't sit down, shit. I was like, they want you to sit the fuck down? No. Okay, and I cuss, and I was thinking, he not cussing, he ain't doing nothing. I'm going to get up, I'm going to be all rowdy and shit. But that's just who I am, right? So, first off, let me say this. I want to thank the committee of the Hagna. Joe, thank you for calling me. You didn't take a chance. You didn't take a chance. Yeah. I live this program. I do this every day. And they told me a long time ago, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Right. Right? And so when my sponsor said to call me, look, I right now in a place in my life where, like, I'm in her back pocket. Look, 20 and a half years clean. I'm still doing this. I'm back to 90 and 90. I'm calling my sponsor. I'm, like, doing the shit. Because the pain of recovery is in my life right now, right? So I was like, what the fuck? Every time I come up here lately, I'm getting these fucking topics that's fucking me up. I'm like, who the fuck is watching me? Shit. Walking around. And look, walking around telling my damn story. Telling people to call me. Who doing that shit? You know we do that shit. But anyway, thank you. And so... Man, a lot of shit done happen, Sam.
Come on.
A lot of shit done happen in a very short time. So let me just cut to the chase, because I'm going to read something, but I just need to let y'all know, like, if you're new and you're here, welcome. I'm not finna tell you no dope story. I have one. Get with me later. I'll tell you about it. But the way I work with this program is I take it right where I'm at right now, and I use the literature that I've ingrained into my living so that I can tell you what's happening right the fuck right now. I've been here a long time, and I can go back to, like, when I was turning tricks on the corners and jumping out of cars. I can tell y'all that shit. But I can tell you that, like, I probably was turning a trick on the corner 2 weeks ago, and I ain't even turned no tricks. But it feel like the pain, right, that I'm experiencing is the same pain that I experienced when I turned the trick on the corner, right? And I need to tell you that, like, some of that shit ain't pain. Some of that shit is like, I want it. Like, it's familiar. I crave it. Like, I will fucking put myself in situations that forces me, right? It forces me to have to make a decision to do something different. Like, I will continuously find myself, it talks about in the literature, backed into a corner that I may not make it out clean. So how many times am I going to do that to myself? Because ain't nobody, don't get it twisted, ain't nobody done shit to me. Everything that's ever happened to me in this recovery process is I set myself up for it. I remember the first time they used to tell me all the time, get your coffee when we first get here. Get your coffee before the meeting start. Sit your ass down on the front row in the critical section and don't say shit. Just sit there. I mean, they talk to us like that. Nowadays, you can't talk to the newcomer like that shit now. You get cussed the fuck out nowadays. And so that's fine. You know, that's one of the part of, look, that's the part of change. Let me tell you something. There is pain in growth. I don't know who told that lie. I wonder if, you know, like, I was thinking about earlier, like, butterflies, right? They a caterpillar. And then they go in the cocoon. That's got to be some painful shit that God has already prepared. But we don't know the pain that the caterpillar got to go through to become the butterfly that we see pretty, right? I know the pain that I've had to experience to become the recovering member that I am today in Narcotics Anonymous. And all the time, it ain't shit that I done. I don't always do shit to fuck my life up. People do shit to you. Bad shit happen to good people. It does. And it's just the way the fucking is. Life on life terms sometimes fucking fucks. That's just what it is. And here I get the opportunity to learn how to live life on life's terms without the use of drugs. That's what the fuck we do here. So if you new, welcome. You're going to learn how to make it through no matter what and don't get loaded. Just keep coming back even when you don't want to, when you want to, when your sponsors say so, when your mom and them say, oh, is you going to that meeting? What happened? Why you ain't been going to them meetings lately? Because they get to find the, they be like, shit, she ain't been to that meeting. There's something wrong. Because when you start to live this way, people recognize, right, when you're not doing it. Let me go into this literature, because y'all know the literature, is it comes alive. And people always say the literature say, first off, literature don't speak. But I believe that it comes alive through us as we speak, right? And so we give it life. So in here it says, before it even gets to that, I always have to go back to it over here. Caring for our spiritual condition is like cleaning the house. If we want the benefit, the work must be ongoing. The better we do at keeping up with the daily routines, the less painful the big cleaning is when it comes, and the less often we have to undertake a major overhaul. We are responsible for our recovery, but that doesn't have to be an endless chore. A member shared, there was a time when I dreaded step work. It felt like a punishment. Now I'm excited to work on my recovery because I know the steps are the road to freedom. It's not recovery that is painful. Our resistance to it is what hurts. When we step away from our recovery and act against our belief, that hurts. Using is about distortion. We are drawn to things that distort our perception. from drug use to resentment. Sanity is living in harmony with reality. When we are spiritually awake, we are willing to see clearly. We recognize the habits of mind that lead us back to the same feelings over and over, regardless of what's happening around us. Until we stamp it with the name excitement or fear, the feeling can be identical. Do you understand? I just said that. The feeling can be the same, whether I'm standing on the corner waiting for the trick or whether I'm waiting for the trick at the office. So soon as he come and he say, oh, you looking cute today. Thank you. Thank you. Now I'm marching back because I want him to say it again. Say it again. Thank you. So now I'm caught up. And I obsession and compulsion. So obsession, the fixed idea, well, I'm going to get to work today. I'm going to wear this because it's going to be cute. And when he see me today, I got my head to the bitch. Wait. Right? I'm already caught up. He ain't even seen me yet. I got the fixed idea, the same thing. The shorter the dress, the quicker I was going to catch the trick. So now I'm dressing up the outside because I'm fucked up on the inside. And I'm standing there and I'm waiting on him to notice how fucking cute I look. And he walk right by and don't say shit. Now compulsion done motherfucking kicked in. So now I'm marching. This motherfucker ain't seen all this ass yet. I know how my ass is jiggling today. I wore this outfit so it'll jiggle. I'm caught the fuck up. I don't know the fit. Well, I'm calling it excitement or fear.
Come on.
Right? Because the feeling is feeling good because she wasn't telling me I was pretty. She wasn't telling me that, like, ooh, look at them dimples. She forgot that it still matters. 15 years in the game, it still matters. It still matters. I still need to hear it. I don't give a fuck how much time clean I got, how many steps I done worked. My self-esteem was non-existent walking in here.
Come on now.
I didn't have none. Yeah, it's called self-esteem and I done worked on some shit, but I still like to hear a motherfucker tell me you cute, bitch. You understand? So when all that shit start happening, now I'm at the office. And look, I'm a therapist by trade, right? But you know, I walk through that door, I'm a motherfucker addict. Don't come fucking with me right now because I'm sick. I ain't seeing clients, right? No, I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not seeing clients right now because I understand, yeah. Like, that's a professional thing, and I'm not in a place to be professional right now. Let me tell you how unprofessional I was. I already knew that I might fuck, so I can't let you be no client. Huh.
Come on now.
You understand? I'm gonna let you, somebody else gonna work with you because I'm never finna cross over that unethical boundary because I might want to fuck when I'm not in a good frame of mind, so let me go on and set it up.
Yeah.
Mm. Let me go on and set it up. So now I'm free to fuck if I want to because he wasn't never my client. And if you say something, bitch, I didn't never see him. Bitch, no. Soon as somebody see him, me talking to him a little bit too much. But let's get this. I'm in a same-sex relationship, but I'm entertaining him at the job.
Share, baby. Share.
And her. Shit, both of them. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Let me just go and tell the whole truth. Fuck it. It's midnight. Let me tell the whole motherfucking truth. I'm entertaining them all. Him and her. Because I'm hurting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Listen. I got clean. My first 5 years clean. You know, I do it to work because I'm motherfucking crazy. And they say if you work the steps, you'll get a level of freedom. And I needed the freedom. Because I came in here with so much trauma. I came in here with incest, molestation, all that bullshit. You know, the main people to tell you they love you, them motherfuckers. So your sense of love is already distorted. Because how the fuck you gonna love me and do that to me? So then I can't expect nothing else from you. How the fuck I'm gonna expect something different from you when you hug me in the meeting and you say you love me? You just a fucking mark. Because I don't trust nothing that's talking about love when I get here. And then, you know, we women, as soon as we see somebody that we might like, we not fucking with each other because he been talking to her a little bit too long after the meeting. So now we shooting each other in the motherfucking meeting, and I can't become no friends with you. So now I'm saying shit like, I don't trust women.
Come on now.
I don't trust. So now I done boxed myself out of the very help that I need in the motherfucking meeting from the women. So now I'm hanging out with the bloodline.
Uh-oh. Watch out now.
I'm hanging out with everybody, man. And if she say something, this is a fellowship of men and women. I use the very thing that's supposed to be a tool as a weapon. I weaponize the literature to make it okay for me for the act out.
Come on now.
Ooh, this is a bad motherfucker. This disease, this motherfucker, if you ain't careful, you will fucking walk your ass up right on up out of here. Right? So I got these time clean. I realized I like the girls. But, you know, I've always liked the girls. But I come from, my daddy was a Baptist preacher. My mama was the first lady who never married no preacher, but she couldn't have told her that. Shit, she was the first lady as far as the household was concerned. Praise Jesus, thank you. All the time. We went to church so much. Woo, Lord. And look, when I first started using this shit, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to hell. I'm finna have me a motherfucking good ass time. But when I got here, y'all said, like, I can redefine that for myself. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? But the longer I stayed clean, the more of a relationship that I wanted with God. But I denied myself that relationship based on what I thought other people thought it should look like in Narcotics Anonymous. So, because if you start talking about that, you can't talk about that in here. People start thinking you're trying to make them do something. I ain't trying to make you do shit. I'm talking about me. But we don't respect each other's explorations. We always in here and we say we all are each other's eyes and ears until we point some shit out. Now you in my motherfucking business. So you get up here and you start saying anything controversial and you support it with the literature, then they get all outside and they're going to talk about my ass tomorrow, but fuck them. They'll come, dumb as you don't fuck with me, because right now I'm not well. I don't want to fuck up the Hagner Convention, so please just let me make it this weekend. I'm hanging out with my sponsor. I'm trying to stay out of trouble, because if I was at home, I know I'd be fucking him. That's why I came on. I knew I'd be over there fucking him. Like, I'm not confused about obsession and compulsion and what they do for me. I look, it's like a Pringles, right? I love them. I say, I'm just going to take a few out. I'm going to put the rest of them up. How many times we said that I'm going to go get just a dime? Can you hold my money? And then I tell you, act like you ain't finna get my motherfucking money if you want to. And I done told you, don't give it to me no matter what I say. Shit, I finna tie this motherfucking house up. That's the same thing I do for the motherfucking Pringles. I'll tie them motherfuckers up. Whole thing be gone. It's the same. Whether I call it excitement or I call it fear, I don't know the difference when I'm locked and loaded. So let me speed up. So I get there and I do all that and I come out. And you know, you come out in the fellowship. And I don't know where this motherfucking closet is, but I wish everybody come out that motherfucker. Because goddamn, This is the biggest closet I ever motherfucking seen. People still coming out the closet. What the fuck? So anyway, I came out and it just devastated my mother. Fucking devastated my mother. And I wanted to do the right thing by her. Because I had been using, and she had been taking care of my kids. And I just wanted to make her happy. And she was devastated, and I just acted like, you know, like, you know, that self-centeredness, the core, total self-obsession. I just made it fit, just made it, like, it is, I'm going to be happy, and I don't give a fuck what nobody talking about. But was I really happy? Or did I convince myself that, like, I just was fucking, like, I was being rebellious? I fucking was being rebellious. 5 years clean. I don't know shit at 5 years clean. I don't know, man. I be fucking sitting here in newcomers, and they be sharing this shit. I be like, well, I don't know, man. I had motherfucking 5 years clean. I was crazy in a motherfucker. Like, you know, I was just like, and so I'm just like trying to just hang on. I'm just trying to hang on. Then my sponsor use. And my sponsor fucking uses, and y'all said we don't use no matter what. And she get loaded, and everybody fucking don't. Y'all be telling me, like, well, the shame is in not coming back. When she came back, everybody treated her like shit. And I gotta watch that. And I gotta sit in the meeting, and I gotta hear people talk about her. She never made it back. She died. She fucking died. Nobody call you. Nobody come try to see about you. The woman who taught me how to be a woman fucking died on the floor in a fucking house. And then they, you know, they put people pictures up in the meeting. They don't want to put her picture up because they talking about she died using. Who the fuck know where she died from? Did we get an autopsy? Like, what the fuck?
Come on, I hear you.
Yeah.
But I gotta stay clean. Mm-hmm. So I keep on. I get a new sponsor because recovery is my responsibility. It just said that. We are responsible for our recovery. And then I'm working with this woman. And listen, I ain't got nothing against people who can do it. I'm just not that girl that get all, you know, I did all that stuff when I was new, sleeping 8, 9 to a bed and shit. No. Like, we got shit. Y'all said I could get clean, I could live different. I slept 8, 9 to a bed when I was a kid. I don't want to do that shit no more. I don't want to sleep on nobody's flow. I don't want to sleep in a motel with no door on the outside. You know how many tricks I turned in motels with those on the outside? I was not even worthy of a hotel like this to turn tricks in. Then I say shit like I've been put out a better place. No, the fuck I ain't. You know how we be in there trying to build ourselves up more than what the fuck we was? No, I was a crumbing hoe. Then I get in this relationship. I'm in it for 15 years. 2 months ago, we break up. When I leave, I don't have nowhere to go. Y'all say I can't use no matter what. And I'm hurt. I'm fucking hurt. Every day I'm hurt. And I'm trying to, like, leave a relationship with, like, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, kiss my ass. I'm trying not to do all of that. I'm trying not to fucking stab our ties. And come on, man. We love you. Slow, baby. Slow. Just on you. Just on you. And I just kept saying, if I just work a fucking enough steps, if I go to therapy, if I call my sponsor, I call my network, something gonna happen. And nothing happened. So last week I moved into this one bedroom apartment, right?
Come on.
When I first moved in, this motherfucker is small. If you fart in the kitchen, the whole house gonna funk up, right? This motherfucker small, but I kept telling people how small it was, and my sponsor said, somebody told me one time, Clark Kent didn't need nothing but a phone booth to be great.
Come on, baby.
Right?
Come on, baby.
Shit, the next next couple of days, that motherfucker felt like a five-bedroom.
Come on, baby.
I say, this too much space. I'm scared in this motherfucker. Oh, Lord, somebody gonna get me. I start checking out the window over here. I get paranoid. I say, oh, Lord. Because listen. I left my mama out. She put me out. I was 16. Because I had a baby and a man. And she said, you got a baby and a man. You need to get you a house. I was 16. I was a baby. I was just a baby. I'm in this house, right? I haven't had no apartment by myself ever.
Yeah.
I'm 55. Yeah. Never. I don't give a fuck about y'all knowing how old I am.
Yeah.
I'm fucking 55. I ain't never had no place. I've been somebody something. Mm-hmm. Ever since the dudes was touching me when I was a little girl, I was somebody's secret. I was somebody something. I was somebody's sneaky link. We just called it somebody. I was cheating with a married man. Now they got a funny name for a sneaky link. No, bitch, you nasty. Bitch, you nasty. Yeah, you a fucking side piece. That nigga ain't gonna never leave him and all of that bullshit. Shit, no sneaky link. Shit, I wish they had a cute name for it. When I was doing it, I might be still doing the shit. So I had some good days, right? I had some real fucked up long days, boy. The motherfuckers be so long, I don't think they ever go in. And I keep thinking, okay, well, maybe we can work it back out, and then I'll talk to her and I'll be reminded of why I'm not there. Mm-hmm. That hurt too. Mm. When you're reminded of why you left in the first place. So I started a new job, left a 15-year relationship. I moved into a new apartment. Became homeless, jobless, and penniless. I done maxed out every credit card I got. I came up here with a tank of gas, and what you see is what you get.
Come on, man. Love you. Love you,
friend.
Love you. Keep walking.
Yeah. But I don't give a fuck what happened. I ain't got to get loaded.
No.
I ain't got to get loaded. Because they told me I don't ever have to use again when I got here. And I believed them.
Yeah.
I believed them. So when you're in here and you're going through something, just hold on. Just hold on. Cry. Share, do whatever the fuck you gotta do, scream, just don't use.
That's right. Yeah.
Every day ain't gonna be a good day, but it's worth it. It's fucking worth it.
Yeah.
And then I get to do this, right?
Yeah.
I get to save my own life and maybe save somebody. I'm not going to keep on going. Thank y'all for just being here, staying up, and hanging in there with us. Thank y'all for letting me share. Yeah.